Cleaning up Perek Gimel, which is one of the more famous bunch of psukim that we have in Tanakh. L'chol zman ve'es. For everything there is a time and a season. L'chol chayvetz tachas hashamayim. For anything that has a purpose underneath the sun. So the pshat is that since the whole world is regulated and there are certain ordinances that have to be gone through and this is what has to be, so it's silly for us to be able to try to break it or say, no, there's never a time for that, right? Ain't nobody got time for that, right, is the way that I think they put it. It's not true. Everything has a time, everything has a place, and therefore a person is supposed to be over here. Altogether, we are going to mention 7 psukim of 4 things each. That's what we're going to do. It's 28 altogether. The reason why 28 is interesting, because the way that the solar calendar works is that every 28 years is a new cycle. That's why we do Berachos HaChama every 28 years. We're going to see that everything goes based on the heaven in that way. So first, Eis Laletus, Eis Lamus. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. Eis Latas, Eis Lakonatua. There is a time to plant. There is a time to uproot that which has already been planted. I think this is obvious in and of itself. Obviously, birth is something that you think is absolutely, that we know is absolutely unbelievable. But when it comes to death, people forget the greatness and what happens at a time like that. So the key behind everything like that is going to be the years were given in the beginning for a person to know a time, everybody is going to die at a certain time in a certain place, and that's the concept over here. What we mean by a time to plant is usually that's for purposes, you know, to be able to go through. But sometimes if something is done in the wrong way, like kilayim, which is, you know, the mixture of different seeds and whatever it is, you got to uproot the planting. There are ways of doing such things, and that's the idea behind it. Even there, if there are beautiful plants there, there are times to take it away. Another way of looking at it is when there's a disease inside the trees or the plants out there, you have to uproot the planting. You have to get rid of the plants out there. If you keep them there, everything is going to die. And that's something that a person has to remember when it comes to anything. Now, yeah.
Eis Laletus, could it also be like, there's a time like where you should be having children and not should be having children? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're like newly married and have no money, like you shouldn't be having children?
Halachically speaking, there is absolutely no heter because of money to not have children.
I was just giving you an answer, but like,
there is a time to not have children if it's a sakana, a danger to the mother, emotionally or physically. That might be a different issue.
The child?
That might be that. What do you mean, like the child?
If you both are Tay-Sachs carrying.
Oh, that's a great call. That will take a big rub, but yes, 100%. So that's a good call in that case. Ace, in this case, though, it's not saying Eis Laletus, Eis Lolaletus. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. But it's not that there's Eis Laletus, Eis Lolaletus. This would be consistent with our halacha that unless there's a crazy situation, we always go with Leda. Leda is always the issue over here. In Parashat Gimel, it says, Eis Larov, the Eis Lerpo. There's a time where a person has to kill, right? Where even though it seems like that's against what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, but if the guy's Chayiv Misa, the guy is Chayiv Misa. A person has to kill. Eis Lerpo means, and there's a time to heal. When a person has something in them that you can fix, you have to go ahead and try to fix it. Eis Lefrotz, the Eis Levnos. There is a time to wreck and knock down in order for everything. I guess that could happen. And sometimes even the decay helps a plant to grow a little bit better. Perhaps it's referring to the Batei Mikdash, meaning the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed in order for us to appreciate it more and realize what we're missing, the Eis Levnos. And eventually, hopefully, there will be a time to build up that Beis HaMikdash again. Eis Levkos, the Eis Leschaik. There's a time for crying, like Tisha B'Av will call it. There's a time for laughter, either Laos Lava or all of Adar, Chodesh Adar. Comparing Chodesh Adar to Chodesh Av would be a good call over here. Eis Sfod, the Eis Rekod. There is a time to wail, to cry, to give a hesped, and there's also a time to dance, a time to be able to go through. Notice over here that all the others have a lamed. Eis Laharog, Eis Lerpo, Eis Lefrotz, Eis Lefnos, Eis Lefkos, Eis Leschok. Eis Sfod, the Eis Rekod, does not have a lamed. Perhaps this is a reference to the limud HaTorah that one cannot do during Avelus, that he loses out on during a tremendous simcha, he's not able to do during that time of simcha. Perhaps it's a reference to the 30 days of avails, the shloshim of avails that a person has to keep, right? There's a lot that could do with such a thing. Maybe the first days of marriage, 30 days of marriage, we call the kala a kala and the chasin a chasin. After 30 days, we don't necessarily call them again. But either way, that's the concept behind it over here. It also is a reminder we should not do anything for more than 30 days. Avelus is over at 30 when it comes to most of the things you have, unless it's your father and mother. But it's over at 30. A person cannot say to himself, you know what, I'm just going to keep doing it because this is better for me. That's not what a person should do over here. There's a time to throw away stones. There's a time to gather in stones. Yo Yachin carried with him stones from Eretz Yisrael in order to build a shul in bubble, base medrash in bubble. That's exactly what he did. That is the time to be able to gather in the stones. Cast away the stones, when in the destruction of Yerushalayim, when all the walls were shattered, you have to build up again. There was no reason to use those stones again. Those stones are not there to be used again. Es lachavok, es lirchok mechabek. There are some times where a person should hug, right? And there is a time where you keep away from hugging and stay away from what it is. Now, this could be, it's alluding to what happens when it comes to gerim, accepting gerim into the fold. Some gerim are really good for us, and it's a good thing for us to have, and they're tremendous people. And others, it's probably better for us not to have them whatsoever. Probably better for us not to look at it. It depends on what you're going to do. We got into Eis L'Hashlo Havanim, there's a good mushel. A merchant went on the sea voyage with his son with a casket full of precious gems and pearls. The ship's captain saw them come along on the ship itself. They guessed its contents, right? Immediately he started getting the sailors to look at the guy and try to find a way to be able to kill him to take away all of his gems and treasures. Now the guy figured this out. The merchant figured out what was happening. So what did he do? He faked a fight with his son and then took the whole thing of gems and threw it overboard. Everybody was really, really upset, right? But they saw, like, okay, that's that. When they got to shore, the guy went straight to the police and said, these guys were going to kill me for my gems, so therefore I threw my gems overboard. They should pay me for the gems. They have to pay me for the gems that they wanted to throw and for the reason that I wanted to do it, right, for that over there. So they called out loud. He was the one that threw in the sea, right? We didn't make him throw it into the sea. But the policeman said, the governor said, we know he saved his life by throwing it into the sea. The fact that you did this, the fact that you didn't kill him was because he had thrown it into the sea, therefore you should pay him back for everything he lost. And they made him pay. Marshall. So that's that. So that's what he took the gear from itself. And that's what it means, Eis L'Hashlich Avonim over here. Another way of understanding is that there are times where to be together with one's wife. There are times when to stay away with Hilchos Nida. That's the simple idea behind this as well, of what's going to be as well. Okay. Eis L'Vakesh Ve'Eis L'Abei. There is a time to look and there is a time to lose what a person has. So sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to search for something. That becomes like David HaMelech. Kadosh Baruch Hu searched for a new king. David HaMelech was the right person. Sometimes you have to lose what you had. Shaul HaMelech came with a lot of promise. But at the end, when he didn't fulfill that promise that he was supposed to have had, you have to make him get lost. You have to lose it. Eis L'Shmor, there is a time to keep something. Eis L'Shlich, there is a time to completely get rid of. Sometimes the best thing for a person is galus. Sometimes the person needs something to get out for a little bit and to be able to come back and realize what you had. Eis L'Kroeva, Eis L'Spor. There's a time to tear your clothing. There's a time to sew up your clothing. Eis L'Chashosva, Eis L'Daber. There is a time to be able to be silent and there is a time to speak. And I think that's one of the best things out there. When you're at a house of Avelus, it is a time to be quiet. Somebody asks you a question, you ask a question. But there is no need to start an awkward conversation to mention something that's just dumb. Just because, well, I didn't want it to be an awkward silence. The definition of awkward silences are when you're sitting at Shiva. It should be that way. There's no reason for it not to be that way. That's what it means, Eis L'Chashos. Eis L'Daber, and there's a time to speak as well. Some of the greatest people know when to be silent and know when to talk. When to speak up and when not to say anything at all. Right, that's the concept behind it. Eis La'ov, the Eis L'Snow. It's in a pasuk.
Well, no.
Eis La'ov, the Eis L'Snow. There's a time to love and a time to hate. Eis Milchama, the Eis Shalom. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. Sometimes there is a time for war. Although nobody wants war, nobody wants to be able to start these fights, etc. But there is a time for it. And always, there's going to be something that's going to happen in order to get to the eventuality of peace itself. And to which he says, "Ma Yisrael Isa Basher Womo." What profit has he, the one that works, right? His labor itself. Adam Rishon, when he had the choice, he could be a Nebuch. He had the choice to be an absolute Nebuch. What does it mean to be a Nebuch? He had the choice to sit back and be around and just do his own thing. And that was it. What was his job? Guard the garden? Guard it from who? Who's coming into this garden? You really have to worry about. And if anything, he did a horrible job because the snake got in. Right? What's he really doing with the Shemira? Clearly there's nothing to do. Do you have to water it? No, there was a mist that was going around. There was nothing that he needed to do, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a Nebuch job. Adam Rishon chose, I don't want the Nebuch job. He ate from the tree, from the Eitz Hadas, consciously, in order to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want this job. I want to work on myself. I want it to be hard. What is our simcha? What do we get? What's the profit that we get out of? When working hard, when getting the results, not while working, that obviously is very, very difficult, but after the job is already over, that's when when a person sees all of everything that happens and he's extremely happy, etc. That's the idea behind it. There's a mash over here, but no need. I've seen how a Kadosh Baruch Hu has put something for people to be concerned with. As a kolos ha'yafa bito, he has made everything beautiful in its proper time. And he also set the world, right, within their heart, where everybody thinks about the world itself, the world at large, while they're living. Man is sometimes at a loss. And what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted from the beginning all the way to the end. There's a season. A Kadosh Baruch Hu has made something. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu has seen the beautiful world around him and wants us to be able to delve into it, wants us to enjoy what we have inside here. But sometimes we lose sight of what's really important. As they say, the forest for the trees. We completely forget the main purpose and the job because we see something beautiful and we want that to be, here's what I want to concentrate on. Can you imagine a guy, I feel so bad. Like after 120, the guy was born as a frum Jew, right? Grew up in the yeshiva system, just never really enjoyed it, whatever it is, right? And spends his life not learning a blessed thing after he doesn't have to because he's out of yeshiva, and spends his whole time, his leisure time, watching TV shows. I feel horrible for the guy. I'm not mad at the guy. I feel horrible. The guy literally wasted his life with what? If you've ever tried telling over a TV show to somebody after you've seen it, when you were like laughing the whole time, not kidding, like you're getting nothing out of it. Nobody's sitting there and saying like, oh, that was awesome. Wow, I wish I was there. Right. Nobody thinks that way. It's such a waste, an absolute waste. And this is the concept over here. And sometimes, even a sin can be something beautiful. Yael, with what she did to Sisera, right, in order to kill him to stop the war, was considered beautiful. What was the act? The act was sleeping with him in order to make sure that he was so tired out that she could kill him. Although that was considered a sin, it was. It was an Aveira L'Shem Shamayim. How was she rewarded? Well, she was asked to her husband. That's 100% true, right? She was asked to her husband. She was not allowed to be together with her husband for the rest of her life. She was a Zona. But she did it L'Shem Shamayim. So what does that mean? I don't know. We know that the Gemara says that she was a great woman. We know that she became a Shofetis. On the other hand, we know that she was asked to her husband. That is a decision that people have to make in each time. Sometimes a sin can be good, but that doesn't mean you don't have the ramifications of that sin. It could be, I don't know. Maybe she received her Gehenim for the sin that she had to do, even though she was doing it L'Shem Shamayim. It's an interesting call to be able to think about.
Which pasuk about Yael? Like that you brought this thought?
Pasuk Yud Beis. Yedati Kein Tovba. I know there's nothing better than kim lismach v'lasos tov v'chayav, rather than to be happy and to have good in your life. That's the key to everything. Being happy and to have good. And a person that eats and drinks and sees good through his toil, that is a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not everybody. I mean, I know quite a few people that have tremendous jobs. They have a tremendous amount of education. You can't hold down a job. That's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when a person has a job and he's able to go through, who knows what's going to be in that. And that's the concept over here, that this is a gift of Hashem to be able to have a job that works all the way through. Pasuk Yud Dalet, Yadati Kolosh Yaso Lakim Hu Yiyel Olam. I know that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does truly should last forever. Olav the Ein Lo Sif. You can't add on to what he does. You also can't subtract from what he does. But everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is so that we have more fear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's for all. The natural change of the world, the reason why the world becomes the way it is, everything was made so that everybody can find some type of Yiras Shamayim in what they're doing and how the world works with it. There is going to be a perfect world in the future, and perhaps this is a hint to the idea of what's going to be in the future when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates that world, but it doesn't need to be that way. Mashahaya kvarhu. Everything that has happened before, it already, or that which is, already has been. Shalios kvarhaya. So too in the future, anything that might happen, already happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always try to be with the one that is pursued. You got to always be careful. Never be the pursuer, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with the one being pursued, which means that if Esav chases Yaakov, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Yaakov. But if Yaakov starts chasing Esav, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu ends up being with Esav itself. That's why we don't fight. We don't start a fight. We don't do anything unless we absolutely have to, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with the Nirduf. And we see this over and over and over again, where we're the ones who fight if we have to, but we don't start. We don't instigate. That's not us. In a way, by the way, that could be the reason why the world has taken on the plight of the Palestinians. I'm not getting all political here. I'm not saying whether what the Israelis should do. I have absolutely no idea. But the concept is the Palestinians look like Nir Dothan. They look like they're the ones that are being chased. Okay, the truth of what it means to have suicide bombers and whatever is a different story. But they look like the ones being chased. The world finds sympathy for the Nir Dothan. That's what happens. We always look at the Nir Dothan. We never look at the Rodfin. The Rodfin, they're like Nazis, Yimach Shemam. They're the horrible people because they're chasing after these innocent people over here. Whether or not, you look at the Nir Dothan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the same midah that he goes after the Nir Dothan. It is not for us to instigate a fight. Odri Zitach HaShemesh Makoma Mishpat Shama HaResha. I also saw that in the place of justice, there is quite a lot of wickedness. Makoma Tzedek Shama HaRosha. So too in the place of righteousness, there can be wickednesses there as well. Amartani Belibi as a Tzedek Vesa Rosha Yishpot. I said in my heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to judge the Tzedek and the Rosha. Yishpot Elokim. Ki'is L'kol Chevetz, because there is a time for everything. V'al Kolom Ayis HaShem. And for everything that is done over there. Truth is, we see this all the time. Tzaddikim being punished, Rishayim that are being rewarded, and we don't get it. We see people that we think are Rishayim, we think are Tzaddikim, and look at what's happening to them. We don't understand anything whatsoever. The suffering of the righteous and the comforting of the Rishayim, of mortal man, of everything that bad that happens over here. We have to remember that quite a bit is beyond our understanding. Quite a bit is being resolved once a person goes to Olam Haba. We have no idea what the plan is. And this is the concept. Underneath this sun, I've seen that there's evil in the place of Mishpat. I've seen there's evil in the place of Tzaddikim. And I don't get it. But it's not for me to be able to understand. Not for right now. This is something where I have to look at. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging them. He'll deal with all of them. Whatever is going to happen is there. Amati and Ibilibi. Then I said to myself in Pasuk Yud Ches, Al Divras Bnei Adam, about people's speech, Levarom Elokim, in order, to opposite HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Veliros Shehem Behema Hemalahem, right? And to see... Am I reading that correctly? What's in Yud Ches, that wording over here? Liros Shehem?
Yeah.
What is that word? Liros Shehem. Behema. Hema Lahem. That's interesting over here. Either way, it's weird wording. How does he say it over here? Kadosh Baruch Hu is selecting them out only to see that in themselves they are like animals. I said to myself, they are separated by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they see that they're just animals. That the people are just physical animals. Because what happens to people, what happens to animals, it's the same thing. Just like this one dies, the other one dies. There's one ruach for all. I don't see much of a profit for a person to be a person rather than an animal. Everything is helpful when it comes to this. And sometimes, maybe even an animal is better. Beisilim Beishama has decided that it's better to have not lived than to have lived. That was a decision that was made by both of them over there. It's almost as if to say, being a human being is fraught with danger because we know what could happen to a person and how much a person can sin. Perhaps, no matter how many mitzvahs you do, just one sin against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, one Chilul Hashem, might be enough to be able to say it wasn't worth you being in the world. That's something that we sometimes forget. Because why are we in this world if not to make a Kiddush Hashem the entire time? What's the purpose over here? Some people say, like, I wish I were a bird. I wish I were an animal. Can you imagine actually being an animal? Not having a brain. Not being able to think straight. What's the point of doing such a thing? What, you live instinctively because this is what your father did and whatever it is? It's not the way we should be. All people are like animals in the fact that they're not thinking straight. Everything is going to the same place. Everything came from dirt. Everything will return to there. Who knows the spirit of that man, of the children of man, that goes up above, and the spirit that descends down to earth. Do we really know that there's a difference between the man and the behema itself? Do we really know? We understand that there's going to be tchias amesa. But do we know that animals won't get tchias amesa themselves? Maybe there is a doggy heaven out there, right? Maybe there is some type of shamayim out there for them. In the end, Shlomo Melech is being a little bit facetious. He's obviously not saying that an animal is considered like a human being itself or that there's any type of equality whatsoever. But it's saying, as if to say, a person who's living his life without the ideas that the Torah espouses and does his own thing the entire time, his own morality, and he lives his life that way, an animal is no different. That's the way an animal is. Maybe this person is thinking a little bit more. Usually not. Usually he's not able to make the right decisions. And that's sad. Barisi Cain told me, Yismach Adam b'masot. I saw that there was nothing better than a person to rejoice in his works. Q'chalko, that's mamish what you have. Because who knows what's going to be after you or what's going to be. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. So therefore, be happy with what you have, work hard, and make sure that anything you have is coming from your own stuff and everything you do for yourself. And that's the concept that he says over here. Who knows what's going to be? We have absolutely no idea. Keep working on yourself and allow it to be there. And then he says, Perek Dalet. Pasukalo says, V'shapti aniva eres kol ha'shukum asher nasan tachas ha'shamash. Then I saw all the oppression that happens in the world. See how much pain there is in the world? You look around and you see all the poor people in India and Africa, just those two countries, China, all the oppression, all the horrible things. Can you imagine living in North Korea? Can you imagine being born in North Korea and being part of the peasantry there, right, where anything could happen to you at any time and nobody cares? Asher nasan tachas ha'shamash. That's happening under the sun.
How does the Shabti, what does that mean here?
Shabti, I returned. Yeah. There are people that are crying all the time. Nobody can console them. Or take them out of the power of their oppressors. There's no one to be able to help them over here. So Shlomo Melech is looking at everything and saying, why is there so much pain? Why is there so much bad? Why is this happening? Where I'm looking at the world and I'm saying, we just said, right, that men are considered like beasts in a way. Right, we're seeing all these horrible things where the strong defeat the weak, and we're seeing stuff like that, especially with us in Gullus. What is going on over here at Kadosh Baruch? Why is this happening? Shaveach and Isa Mason. And in times, I praise the dead, Shakvar Mason and Achaim, because at least they're dead already. Shreim Achaim Adena, over the living who yet continue to live, right? So this is a famous line over here. Kadosh Baruch Shlomo Melech is looking at David Melech, his father, and saying, I praise the dead. I wish I were dead like my father. I would no longer have the ability to sin. I no longer have the worries of what comes in Olam Hazeh. Baruch Hashem, if I would only die. Now, he's not saying that a person should commit suicide. I saw this. I don't know if it's a movie or a TV show. I have absolutely no idea. I can't even tell the difference right nowadays. But I read that there's something coming out in which the whole concept is a guy figures out that there is an afterlife. He has physical proof, like some type of scientific proof. So you know what happens? The world starts committing mass suicides. So you're like, then why are we here? If everyone goes to heaven anyway, let's get rid of all the pain in the world and they just kill themselves. Everybody is killing themselves. And the whole, I don't know if it's, again, I don't know, TV show, movie, whatever it is about what are they going to do now? Like, that, I proved it. I know everybody's like, oh, then I'm going to die. If you are so self-assured that you're going to have a great chelik in Olam Haba, why wouldn't you allow yourself to die? Now, again, catch 22. If you commit suicide, you don't have that chelik. So I hear that, right? That's a good chap by Chazal. Don't commit suicide, even if you do believe in Olam Haba that much, because what's going to happen to you is you're not going to be up there over there. But it is extremely sad. Shlomo Melech is looking at David Melech and saying that. And not only that, but he's also looking at people who have died with tshuva. Like, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, who at the end of his life looked up at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel so bad, and started crying until he died. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi said, oh, Baruch Hashem, he gained in 1 hour what other people took years to take, years to do, etc. That's an amazing level. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya is an absolutely unbelievable level over here. There's some amazing things that are over there. I remember my dad used to say the following. There was an old baseball player on the Cubs named Doug DiCenzo. I don't know if anybody remembers him back in the day. He was a backup left fielder. He was a tremendous player, but he used to play all over the place. He played infield. I think he pitched once and whatever it was. My dad used to tell me he loved him. He was a hard worker and whatever. And my dad used to say, would you rather have Doug DiCenzo on your team or Babe Ruth on your team? Right? Everybody's like, Babe Ruth. And my dad would be like, Babe Ruth is dead. He's going to do nothing for you. Pick Doug DiCenzo because he's alive. In a way, Shabbat and Isa Mason, because even though they're gone and they can't help you in this world, and obviously the Chaim are better than somebody who's dead, but they no longer have the challenges that we have over here. We say every morning, Veloli de Nisayon. Don't allow us to have challenges. That's agreed. Agreed in that way. V'tov Mishnayim, Asher Shera Den Lohaya. Better than both is a person who was never in this world yet. Asher Lo Ra'as HaMaisel Rosh HaNasetechos HaShemesh, who has never seen all the evil that has been in that world, right, and everything that's happened over here. Listen to this. The Medrash brings down a mushel regarding this and says, in order to enrich the treasury was down a little bit, they needed more money, the royal monarch made a lottery. He made every single person pay for a lottery ticket, and the winner would gain $10,000. But because he was taking $10 from every single person, in order to buy this lottery ticket. So one person is going to gain $10,000. That's great. You know, you get $10,000 for 10 bucks. It's unbelievable. But everyone else loses, and the king wins. The king wins. And that's really what the lottery is by any government, right? Any government service. By definition, the point of the lottery is in order to get the government lottery over there. To that, people are like, oh, wow, right? You got a lottery ticket. But the people who lost at the end of the day, they look at it and said, I wish I never would have had to pay it in the first place. I didn't win the lottery, right? I wish I wouldn't have been there. That's the concept of what it's like living in this world when a person, at the end of his life, has more sins than mitzvos. I wish I wouldn't have been here in the first place. If I lost anyway, then what was the point of me giving in the first place? That's the scary part over here. And I see all the toil and all the talent, that which people get out here, and I see that it stems from kinah. And that's garbage. If a person is only trying to become rich or powerful or honorable because he wants to be better than his friend, that's garbage. A person cannot live that way. Now, when it comes to ruchnius, that's okay. There is such a thing as good kinah. Kinah sofrim, tar bechachma. Right? When it comes to the sofrim, the talmidei chachamim, I want to be like that big rav. Good. We want you to be like that great rav. You can use kinah in a good way. But kinah normally is a horrible, horrible midah. There's nothing good about it whatsoever. That's the problem behind it when it comes. We all know this famous mashal. I don't know if it's a real chazal mashal or if this is like whatever it is. King goes up to two people. One is envious, right? Of his friend, and the other one was really, really greedy, right? So he goes up to the person, and he says to the person who is envious, and he said, I'm going to give you a gift. Whatever you have, whatever you want, your friend is going to get double. So what are you going to choose? You choose 10 gold pieces, right? Your friend is going to get 20 gold pieces. Choose 100, 200, everything, etc. So the guy sat there. He's so envious of his friend. He said, I want you to take out one of my eyes. So my friend is completely blind. Can you imagine? It's such a svara. But that's the concept over here. The envious man, a person who's envious, is willing to lose something himself in order for his friend to lose as well. That's the idea behind it. Tomus nafshim aplishtim, said Shimshon. I want to die together with the plishtim. That concept exists, unfortunately, all over the place. Pasuk hey, haksil chovek es yadav. The fool holds his hands together, va'ochlas besaro, and consumes his own flesh. He won't give away tzedakah. Sitting there today, two mishulachim came in the middle of Shacharis this morning, right? And they came in, and they walked up to me, and I'm like, oh man, I only have a 20. Oh man, I don't want to do it. Why don't I want to do it? Because I know what's going to happen, and it's exactly what happened. I got 19 singles. I knew I didn't want that. The last thing I want, I 10 of 5 and 4 ones I'd be okay with, but I just don't want 19 singles. And it's exactly what happened. I gave him the 20. I ended up giving him 2 instead of 1. So I got 18 singles. What am I going to do? And then another guy came by, so I gave him a little. I have 18 singles. I'm not going to put it in my wallet. Just put it in my jacket pocket. When you have singles, singles go like that. You know what I'm saying? Like you put it here, you just throw it on the ground. You know, singles go like that. A 20 I would have kept in my wallet for a couple weeks. That's what happens over here. Oh, I don't say it's horrible. I do not. But a ksil, chovik is the other, but won't give in such a case. A lazy man allows his field to grow big with thorns and thistles. Doesn't work on himself whatsoever. He's like, I'll take care of it tomorrow. Tov melo chaf nachas melo chaf naim amo rus ruch. It's better to have a fistful of nachas and good things than two handfuls of amo rus ruch when a person has this bad stuff when it comes into it. In other words, like this. Listen. You have one handful of tzedakah because you gave away the other handful over there. Good. At least you'll be happy. But if you have two and you're always upset and you're like, how can I get this away from other people? How can I make sure that I'm not giving tzedakah? Nah, that's not a good world. That's a world that you don't want to be in. That's not the way you want to be. Pasuk Zayin, v'shavti ani ba'era hevel tachas ha'shamash. And then I went, returned, and I saw another hevel under the sun. Yesh echad ve'in sheni.
Return from where?
Again, I look back at it. The same thing as before. Yesh echad ve'in sheni. There's one man, but he doesn't have a friend. Gambein va'achin lo, he doesn't have a son or a brother. Ve'en ketzelchol malo, so there's no end to everything he does. Gam eino lo sispa, and yet he's never satisfied with what he sees, with osher, with riches. Well, I mean, you all know. He asks himself, who am I working for? Umachaser es nafshi mitoivo, and depriving my soul of everything. Gam zahavo ve'nin rahu. It's so horrible. This is a guy, he has no relatives. Nobody's going to inherit himself, give all of his stuff to. There's nothing left, right? At the end of the day, he looks at himself and he's working like a dog. And he's sitting there and he's like, why am I working like a dog? What am I doing this for? To enjoy it when I'm 80? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? I'm not giving it to anybody. There's nothing after me. So what's going to be? There's an amazing story of somebody. I'm not going to say the name, but there's a person who lived in this community. He never had any children. His closest relative was his nephew that was alive. That's it. very, very, very wealthy man. You know what happened? He gave away everything. Normally, when people give away tzedakah, right? If they give away $100,000, that means they have $1 million in the bank account. Give away $7 million, they have $700 million in their bank account. Normally, that's what ends up happening. This guy, because he didn't have any children or whatever it was, a school needed $7 million. He gave the school $7 million and left himself with nothing. He had zero left. Unbelievable. That's absolutely unbelievable. You've never even heard of such a thing. Halakhically, can you do that is a different story. But the guy died penniless. The guy died without anything. He was an owner of nursing homes, a person who had millions and millions of dollars, and he literally gave away everything to the end of his life because who's he going to give it to? Could give it to his great-nephew. It's not like he wasn't close with his great-nephew. His great-nephew, Baruch Hashem, didn't need it. So he just gave away everything. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I don't think I could ever imagine somebody that's really like that, but that's a shot. So that's the idea behind it. There's something about Yaakov here, but let's skip. Pasuk test over here. Tovim ha-shnayim min ha-achad. Two are always better than one. She'yesh lahem schar tov ba'malam, because there is tremendous reward in their labor itself. Whenever you have two people, you're working not only for yourself, but for somebody else, whether that's your child, or whether your parents, or your wife, or your kids, your brothers, whatever it is. When you're working with two, that always is better than one. It always works out better than one. You think to yourself, well, yeah, but then I have to waste my time, then I have to work with this guy, maybe I'm not going to agree with what he says. It doesn't make a difference. It's always good to have a partner, always good to have someone to talk to when it comes to these types of things. When it's just you by yourself, you don't feel it the same way. It's just not the same when you're working or doing things, etc. When one guy falls, he'll lift up his friend. However, if one guy falls, right, he's got to call the life alerts, right? Lifeline, right? He's got to call somebody else. Who's going to alert him? Who's going to help? When two people lie together, it's warm. But if one guy, how's he going to warm up? How is that going to happen over here? Simply put, they can't get together that way. And if one guy attacks two people, yamdu negdo, the two people will be able to stand up against him. This happened by David HaMelech and Abishai when they fought against Yishbi Benov and Sanhedrin, Sadi Heyam and Aleph. When Yishbi Benov, this huge giant, was against David HaMelech was lost. He's throwing the stuff on him. He was trying to kill him. As soon as Avishai came, they said, Tovim Hashnayim Min Ha'achad. Two people going up, they'll be able to fight together. Yamdu Negdo, they'll stand up against him. V'achudu Meshulash L'mehar Yenatek. And if there's three, oh, then it'll never be cut away. Three people. A rope that is twined twice is nowhere near as good as a rope that's twined three times. Twine it three times, that's not going to break. That's the concept. And therefore, if there are three generations of people, tzaddikim, one after the other, then chudu Meshulash L'mehar Yenatek. Take that sitkus, that scholarship will stay with the children forever and ever and ever. It's always going to be there. That's the idea behind it. A threefold cord, even a twofold cord could be broken if people are strong enough to be able to break it, but a threefold cord, that's not going to happen. That refers to all the three people that are sitting and learning in the Torah itself. That's what's going to happen over here. Now, Tov Yeled Miskein V'chacham Mimelech Zaken Uksil. It's better to be a poor but wise young man than to be an old and foolish king, who has no idea how to take care of himself. You may be a very young man, but you're wise and you know what to do. This guy, I don't mean to say it this way, but a king who has Alzheimer's and has no ability to control himself, going to the bathroom and doing other things, that guy, there's nothing you can do about him.
I just learned that in Tainus, that it says that if you have an old guy and a chacham who's young, and they one of them is supposed to like lead the davening or something like that.
Yes. Yes, but the zaken over there is talking about zaken zekan a chachma, automatically.
Right. Well, that it asked for
just
question.
Referring to a zaken that's a fool, right? Right. Kimi beis hasurim, because out of prison yatzel unloch. Right, he can end up becoming king. Gamba Malchus Noled Rosh, because even in kingship, there is such a thing as poorness. We all know there was a guy in jail that ended up becoming king. Not only a king, this king lasted for the most in the history of Klal Yisrael. Who is this king? Yosef HaTzadik. He's king for 80 years. Started at the age of 30, died at 110. He is the longest reigning king in Jewish history. 80 years altogether. The next to closest is Menashe at 55, right? That's the closest that you got over here. You have nobody else like them. And Yosef HaTzadik came from nowhere. That's the idea. It doesn't mean just because you're young or whatever it is, it's better to sit there and be a very, very, very strong person than to be a fool as time goes on. Shlomo Malach became king when he was 12 years old. But we all know how great of a king Shlomo Malach became. That's better than so many other people like Rechavam, who became a king at the age of 41, but was a fool as a tuk, right? And in the end, right, all the horrible things that happened with the splitting of the kingdom and everything else happened because Rechavam was an idiot who was 41 years old. Shlomo Malach is 12. And look what he was able to build up, and Rechavam destroyed it very, very, very quickly. I see all the live people that are walking under the sun, and I see the second, the youth, who are going to be in their place. I look around and I see the people that are going to take over. Now, in some ways, right, people say there's no way that the youth are going to take over. I'm going to give an example when it comes to sports and things like that. There's a big thing that's going on now. They're all trying to compare to Michael Jordan in some way, shape, or form. Is LeBron James better than Michael Jordan? Is the Golden State Warriors team better than the 96 Bulls, right, that went 72-10? Would they be able to defeat them? Who would be able to win against one another in a fight itself? Who would be able to go? And in some ways, we look at it and we're like, oh, nobody's going to be as good as Jordan, right? Because you look at the old-timers who always say that. But sometimes somebody steps up and becomes greater. I don't know when, but I'm sure people said before Michael Jordan, nobody's going to be better than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Wilt Chamberlain. Right, or Oscar Robertson. I'm sure people ended up saying stuff like that. But eventually you had something like that, like a Montana and a Brady, like sort of like that. You have people that are out there. You know what? That is true, the Wayne Gretzky. Yeah. There's nothing to talk about, you know? You can't come anywhere close. I don't think the game will ever be the way that it was. It's the greatest of all time. Sidney Crosby is amazing. Nobody doubts the greatness of Sidney Crosby. You're going around there. We're giving like a couple of Michelin, but if somebody would tell you that Sidney Crosby is the next Wayne Gretzky, you just laugh at him. You'd laugh at him. You'd say, that's crazy. What are you talking about? So there you go. You got your hockey reference over here. You know what I'm saying? It's just not going to happen. He's got you. So that's that. So you see everything, right? You just don't see, you just can't see somebody taking over that place. There's no end to the entire people, meaning extended throughout time. Right? So, everything that came before them. Even the people that come after him will not rejoice him. So, again, a lot of people that came before him, they were unhappy with the foolish king. So they said, like, oh man, this guy's such a fool, whatever it is. And so the king said, okay, I can't get those guys because those guys are already in their systems. They like what they have and whatever it is. But when the new generation grows up, they'll be happy with me. Well, the next generation grows up and they're also like, this guy was a pretty horrible king. They got nothing out of him. Shmor raglecha kasher telecha beis elokim. Guard your feet and your tongue when you go to the beis hamikdash. V'karuv lishmo amites haksilim. It's better to listen, right, than giving over to the ksilim zavach a sacrifice. Ki inam yodin lasos ra. They have no idea that they're even doing evil. You got to be very careful when you go into over here. Be very, very careful with what you're going to say and do when you're amongst fools who are going to take every word you say as something serious. You have to treat the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash with awe. And don't say something that could be taken the wrong way over there. Obviously, the word Shmor Raglecha, don't put your foot in your mouth, is based on this pasuk. The idea of watch your feet, when really we're talking about watching your tongue when you go somewhere, that's the idea behind it. So too, we learn a lot of different things from over here. Number one, you have to go to the bathroom before you actually daven. Number two, you should run to the minyan whenever you go. Number three, you should not go over to your friend's house before you actually daven itself.
You say your
number
feet
four,
are like your orifices or something?
Raglecha, yeah, in a way, yeah. So, that you don't need the Mishnah Berurah, it's a Gemara Brachos, but it's not exactly that. But either way, but you have to go in at least two doorways into the shul in order to go through. You should have your shoes on when you're davening, instead of davening in socks or even barefoot, even though it used to be that barefoot is there. You should walk as far as you can in order to get to a minyan itself. How far do you have to go? Because it's the kasha, 12 minutes or whatever it is, right? And you should not walk by a shul when they're in the middle of davening itself, nor should you stand in a place that's elevated. It should be mamakim krosi Hashem. Don't daven on top of a mountain. There's a lot of gaiva when a person davens on the top of the mountain. And of course, we all say that when you daven Shemona Esrei, keep your feet together, and we purposely call it amida, to stand straight on your feet when you go through. All this is a reference to what it's supposed to be like when it says Shmor Raglecha, to watch your feet. Let's see if we can finish Perek Hey, which is a sort of a pretty short Perek over here. Haltival al picha. Don't be rash with your mouth. Libcha al yamar lahotzi davar lifnei Elokim. Don't let your heart say something quickly in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in Eved Atal Arts and you're down here. Al ken yu divarech ma'atim. Therefore, don't speak. A lot of people like start saying like, I don't understand why this is so. Because you're standing, it's like, You're looking at a picture, like you're looking at a football game from the end zone right over here. You don't get what's going on over there because you don't have good seats. You're not able to see anything that's going on. Somebody with a bird's eye view is able to see what's going on and the whole play developing in front of him. He's able to tell what's going on over here. But you're asking from somebody who's sitting in a seat. I've been to very few hockey games in my life. I have never understood the game of hockey from the stands. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know where the puck is. I don't know where the people are. I have no idea what's going on. I can't see anything. When you see it on TV, you can see the video from that. You see where the puck is going. It used to be on Fox. They used to have like a little flash, yeah, where it goes on the puck itself, where you're able to tell exactly where the puck is. I don't need that. You know, whatever. You can still see it over there. But the concept is don't say anything rash and stupid and say like, oh, God doesn't know what he's doing. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is in heaven. You're down here. Therefore, just be quiet. Don't worry about anything. He's the one that's going to take care of everything over here. That's the idea. Here's a mashal. An architect was told he had to build a great mansion. He prepared a whole drawing on paper and whatever, just showing the alcoves and the chambers with all of this precision, whatever. Then they advised one of the people to make a copy of it in case he later decided to build another mansion like it. So the man followed his master's instruction and produced an exact duplicate of the architect's plan, except for a small dot. He left that dot out. For this omission, his master was unbelievably angry. So angry. He's astonished. He said, well, I just missed a dot. He said, don't you realize that every dot is an entire structure? If you're missing that dot, the whole thing's going to come down. That's what's going to happen over here. That's the concept over here when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Missing a dot to us is like, why can't you just miss a dot? Right? But missing a dot in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world means you're literally destroying the entire area. Everything is being destroyed over here. That's the concept behind it over here. Kibach halom berov inyan. A dream comes with so many different inyanim. There's so many things you can get out of it. Kol ksil berov devarim. But a fool's voice comes with a multitude of words. A fool maybe has one point to make, and he says a billion words to come out with that one point. A dream is very much like that. It tells you everything you need to know with that one picture, that one image, that one little word that comes to you, right? It's all there right over there. A fool has no idea what he's saying. I love it when I heard somebody that used to say to me, I can say it, I can't say it out. I understand it, I just can't say it out. Dude, if you can't say it out, you don't understand it. If you have no ability to say it, then it's just a mishkababble in your brain, and you can't make sense out of it. That means you don't really get it. You don't understand it. If you understand something, you're able to say it. A fool says he's that guy who writes on all of his answers for his tests. He writes the billion words. Why? Because he has no idea what he's talking about. He could fit it in into six words, but he writes a billion words. And you read it, you're like, what? Just say yes. That's all I wanted you to know. That's the pshat. A fool adds on words when you have no reason to add on whatsoever. Kasher tidor nedel elokim, when you have vowed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to achal l'shamo, do not delay in bringing a king. Chevetz baksilim es asher tidor shalem. He doesn't want fools. If you say you're going to do it, then do it. Tov asher lo sidim yishetidor v'lo tshalem. It's better not to make a promise in the first place than promise and not pay it back over here. I know that sounds obvious, right? But maybe you should promise in order to spur others on, right? They do a whole appeal in shul, and I go, $5 billion, please. Everybody's like, oh, the rabbi's giving $5 billion. I'm going to do $6 billion, and everybody else gives. So when they come up to me and they say, no, I'm like, oh, I was doing it for everyone else. I wanted everyone else to give, and I was successful. So because of me, you got all these people to give a lot more money, right? No, that's not how it works. That is definitely not how it works. You cannot do such a thing. It's better not to make a promise than to do it and not do it in the first place. That's the idea behind it. If chas v'shalom, a person makes a pledge and doesn't fulfill it, Rabbi Yishmael says his wife dies. His wife dies. That's the scary part over here.
Rain also.
I'm sorry? Yeah, that's correct. You're going to lose out on parnasa and stuff like that. That is what's going to happen over here. Don't get around. It's like clouds and wind without rain, right? That's what it refers to. Altitin es pichalachti es pisorecha. Do not allow your mouth to bring your flesh to sin. Do not say in front of the messenger, in front of the malach himself, that it's all a mistake. It's a mistake. Why should God be angry at me? About what I said or whatever. Right? And destroy the work of your hands. Don't be angry with me. I made a mistake. I thought I was going to have this. I can't. I just can't do it right now. That is not something. If you make a pledge, if you contribute, you're supposed to do something. Absolutely not. You committed it. You have to actually give it over here. Don't let a Kadosh Baruch Hu get angry at your voice and what you're doing because of whatever it is when it comes to this. So here we go. We say, one occasion when craftsmen were being conscripted for the royal workforce, a man named Chovitz was forgotten and not called up. His fellow citizens decided to report him to the authorities. They said, what are we going to eat today? So one replied, let us eat chavitza. And all of a sudden, one of the workers was like, oh, we forgot chovitz. Forgot that guy. They called him to go and join, right, when it came into over here. Al takti lachsa. That line over here as well is, al titens pich lachtias bezracha. Don't mess somebody else over by saying something with your mouth. You don't have to say anything. Let it be. The guy wasn't called. He wasn't called. There's no reason for you to have to go in. Kibarov chalomus vavalom dvarim raharbe, right, at kiel zukim yoro. Through the multitude of dreams and garbage in the world, right? All the words, right? There's big things out there. There's no point to all that. Don't say anything. Just fear God. Just understand there's a God out there and he's going to take care of you. Oshet grosh, if you see an oppression of the poor, v'gezel mishpat, and you see people stealing from justice, v'tzedekin, the righteous out there. Tirad, that's what you see. Medina, among the Medinas itself, don't worry about other things. You have to understand, the one who's higher upon higher, the guard is in charge of everything. He's the one that's taking care of everything. You don't have to worry about anything. So don't worry about all that. It might look bad, no worries. The Yisroel Eretz Bakol Hi, and the biggest advantage to the land, he melech lasada neved, is even a king is a servant of the field. The greatest thing that you could possibly have is a king that is willing to work. A king that is willing to do something to be able to do something over here. So a guest in a restaurant ordered food that would be free of sharp spices. He wanted it to be just a normal little thing over here. While waiting, he noticed that they were bringing a steaming pan of relish. So he hastily got up and left the place. He ran out as soon as he could. Where are you running? The owner of the store said. He said, I see that you're about to put spices in the food. I don't like spices. He said, you think we're cooking just for you? We cook for hundreds of people. There are many other people that like spices. Right? So every man thinks that everything was made for him. So something bad goes on, he's like, oh man, the whole world, because Bishvili Nivra Olam. The truth is that the world was created for everyone. So even if it might be bad for you right now, Kadosh Baruch Hu needs it for the billions of other people in the world. That's what needs to happen. Oiv kesel yis bakesef. A person who loves money will never be satisfied by money. Miwei v'amon, and somebody who loves the abundance, lo tivua, will never have enough wheat. Kam zahavol, and that's absolute garbage. You keep wanting and wanting more and more and more. Chazal say a lot of great things over here. Oiv kesel yis bakesef, if you love Torah, you will never be satisfied with the amount of Torah you have. Mioi Bahamon, who is the one who is beloved by the multitudes? Lo Tivua, when he has a lot of grain. Do you see the word lo is spelled lo, Lamed Vav or Lamed Aleph? You see what I'm talking about?
Lamed Aleph.
Lamed Aleph over here, right? So it's, so to speak, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care because he's a person who has as much people as he possibly could get, right? That's the idea behind it. So this is a good one over here. There were three men that traveled to buy merchandise in a distant city on Friday. They knew that there was nobody they could trust their money to, so they concealed it in the ground outside of the city itself. In the middle of the night, one of them went to the field, dug it up, and hid it in a different place. After Shabbos ended, they went to retrieve their money, and guess what? It was gone. So they all began to accuse each other, right? So they went up to King Shlomo, and Shlomo Melech said, I want you to come back to me. I'm going to tell you my judgment tomorrow. So they went to Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech said, I heard you guys are really smart people. I'm going to ask you a question of what just happened. Two neighbors, a boy and a girl, became very close, and they made a pact to cement their friendship. It was decided between them that the girl would never marry without first obtaining permission from the boy. They sealed the pact, right? And they shook hands on it. After many years, her father arranged for her to marry another man, but the groom came to her. She told him not to touch her until she got permission from her childhood friend. So he took a huge amount of gold and silver and precious gems. She went to him and said, take these and release me from my oath. He did it, and they parted friends. He refused to take any of the valuables, that guy, right? On the way back, Ganavim came. They grabbed the woman. They said, give us all your jewels, right? She said, please, let me tell you the story. She told the story, and the Ganav said, fine. If that guy didn't take any money from you, then I'm not going to take any money from you. So Shlomo Melech said to them, which person in this story deserves the most praise? So one of the guys says, the girl. For remembering her oath and not willing to say anything, whatever it is. The other guy said, the husband. He was willing to restrain himself and be able to give the money. The third one was like, the ganav, right? How did the ganav not get involved? How could he have not stolen that stuff? That's crazy that he gave everything away. He said, you're the thief. When you hear about that type of a thing, obviously that's the way somebody did it.
Is that
muscle or is that like... Yeah, I don't know, it's a medrash. Birchas ha-toyva rabu ochla. When goods increase, right, they're increased those that eat them. U'makrishim l'balekim rus enof. When eventually the owner has, right, when you end up just seeing it with your eyes themselves. When you have a lot of stuff, listen, the more that a person becomes wealthy, the more that you have to give to. I've always noticed this when it comes to this. Every bit of money that I make more, when it comes to I'm taking on a job as a rub, or I'm getting a new job as this, and whatever, and something like that. Every single time I add on money, it goes straight to tuition. It's not like I make a good living, and yet nonetheless, there is no way. Every time I get more and more money goes out. It's not like I end up getting to enjoy what I actually have. Just something else comes over here. That's the concept of what happens over here. Every time something happens, you realize I'm never going to have enough. It's just not going to happen over here. I'm going to say another mashal is a good one. Man earned a fine income doing his trade itself. One day, however, he decided to set up a large factory and hire workers. Soon enough, it became clear that his profits were consumed by the wages that he paid to his employees, right? And he was left with absolutely nothing. Moreover, he had to be present to supervise them and keep them from idling. Therefore, Koala says, you want to increase your business. Sometimes you end up losing from the amount of things that you end up going into over here. And that's the idea behind it. That's an unbelievable thing over here. She says this, Mituka shnata oveid, sweeter is the sleep of a worker, ima'atim harbi, whether it's small or a lot, yochel, he will be go ahead and eat. He'll eat either a little or a lot. But because the usher has so much stuff, he can't sleep. Because the guy is always worried and always thinking about what he has to do next and whatever it is, a guy who has that much wealth is not living a very easy life. It's better to be able to have what you need and not have to worry about other things. It's so funny because farmers, when they have a small crop, okay, they worry a little bit, but they're like, okay, I'm going to have to make this do. If a farmer has an absolute huge crop, he's always going to say, what can I do to save that grain? How do I make sure it doesn't get lost? What do I end up doing for this and that and the other? All of a sudden, it becomes a real, real problem. That's what ends up happening over here when it comes to such things. Why, there's so many mishalim over here. Okay, anyway, let's do one more over here. Yesh ra chola. There is a sick evil that I see under the sun. Osher shomer the bala of the ra'asai, that the guy hoards his own money and he uses it toward evil things. He's got so much money, so he doesn't give a lot to tzedakah, or he gives a little bit to tzedakah, and then he goes and gambles it all away, or he spends it on garbage. He spends it on the biggest garbage in the world. He just doesn't do enough with that money that's there. But avada yisharhu b'inyan ra, the riches are gone in a very evil way. A holy bane. And if he gives birth to a child, then he has nothing left. He's already gotten rid of everything he has. I know people that are making so much money right now, so much money, and they're living a single life, and they're just spending absolutely everything. The best thing that a person can do for themselves when they're 20 years old is put everything you have into an IRA. All the extra money that you have. Spend a little bit on yourself, take for what you need, and then take $200, $400, $500 a month, put it away in an IRA. For what you need it. So we're already too old for this. It was too late for both of us.
Speak for yourself.
I still put into an IRA, but it's still too much. Had I started when I was 20, you don't realize that little bit of money that you put away when you're 19, 20, 21, 20 years old, all in an IRA. You're old.
Come on.
You're old, dude. You're 31, I think, right? No, 33. Yeah. I was pretty sure I knew. You're so old, John. Either way, but that's the idea behind it. It's too late for us. Like, we got to put in an IRA because we're retiring within the next like 7 years, you know. But like, for somebody who's 90, you don't realize how much that money sitting in the IRA grows and grows and grows and grows. And 40 years down the line, that's a huge amount of money. Put in $200 when you were 17 years old, all of a sudden that money can turn into $10,000. Okay, not that much, but it can become something really big. That's the idea behind it. You don't want to hold it on. It's a sickening evil when you keep using and using. Right? Just like you came out from your mother's womb naked, you're going to return. You'll go the way you came. You're not taking anything with you. There's no way you're going to be able to take that with. There is, like the pharaohs used to put all their riches inside their tombs, their sarcophagi for the next world, right? It's the worst thing in the world, because now it just belongs to museums. That was the worst idea ever. They could have given it to their children, but they didn't. They did it to something else entirely. Mm-hmm. Okay, ready? This is a famous line, and I don't know if you've heard this before. Rabbi Friedman actually said this not so long ago. A fox came up to a vineyard, and it was enclosed by a fence on all sides. He tried getting through, but he couldn't get through. He was just too big. So what did he do? He fasted for 3 days. And then he was able to fit all the way in. He went inside, and there were grapes inside. He ate a ton of grapes, tried to get out, couldn't get out. What's he going to do, right? He's going to go the other way. So he had to go 3 days to be able to fast and then go right back out. Now it's even worse because he's sitting in the grapes, right? But he couldn't eat from them because he had to wait until he got out. He said, this is so terrible. This is the idea behind it. In order to go back, you got to make yourself skinny again. How are you going to do that? How are you going to make yourself skinny again? That's the concept that we're saying over here. Yeah, I think not using everything that you possibly could in this world. I think that's the idea. Okay, we'll stop right here. Pasuk Tesvav. Right here. Got it right over here.